The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
Today, we're going to talk about why it's important to be very careful in consolidating your retirement accounts. Why are we talking about this topic? Because retirement accounts have rules tied to them, and the retirement portion of people's own net worth and balance sheet gets very messy. In doing financial planning, when we try to lay out a picture of what someone looks like as you focus the lens into their life to see their wealth, the retirement side of that picture gets very murky, very cloudy. And the reason is, retirement accounts themselves have rules tied to them, rules that affect you and your maneuverability and the way you structure those accounts. You don't tend to know it because it's sort of baked into opening a retirement account. But the IRS knows it. And the IRS has a whole section in the IRS.gov, if you go there, on your retirement accounts and the rules associated with them. It's those rules that create sort of this messiness that comes within someone's lifetime savings. Those that save for the long term so that they have money in their retirement. So what do we mean by consolidating your retirement accounts? Remember, I said, why is it important to very carefully consolidate? Because you want to clean the mess up. It's like preparing a meal. I enjoy cooking. I drive my wife crazy because she says I have the messiest kitchen, but the food tastes delicious. So in creating what I'm putting together, I'm creating a mess. That's what really most baby boomers who are venturing into retirement that have done a good job of putting money away, the retirement side can look a little messy. And you get to a point in life where you have to clean it up. So what I usually tell people who are doing retirement planning, that the retirement portion of where your accounts are need to be looked at and need to be pulled together so that they're easily manageable by you, loved ones that might have to come in later on to help you get by in your later years and tap into some of this money, for financial advisors who might be directing you. But how about just for you and your family and maybe your spouse who hasn't been the one that's helped open up a lot of these accounts during your lifetime? So what does it mean to consolidate retirement accounts? So think of it this way. Think of all of your accounts, retirement or not, as buckets. Most people like you and me have what's called a cash bucket. This is your day-to-day dollars that come in and out the cash flow so you can manage everyday lifetime events. A lot of us might direct deposit our paychecks into this cash account. They're usually at a bank, and it's your day-to-day working money. Then some of us know that we might have excess in this day-to-day cash account, and we start to maybe put some money over to the side in another type of an account called a savings account. Still, both of these accounts are not tied to retirement, but a savings account is usually the next stop somebody has and maybe opening another account because they want sort of a rainy day fund, an emergency fund, you know, money that they kind of park that they don't want to spend day in and day out, that they don't hit up off their debit card. It's called that rainy day fund, or we call it in the business of helping people do financial planning, we call it your emergency fund. And emergency funds should have anywhere from 3 to 6 months of your income parked there. That rule is sort of different from financial planning standpoint. If I have somebody who's an engineer or a contractor or somebody who's got a very economy sensitive career, meaning they're in and out of work, as our economy ebbs and flows, then you want to have a little bit more. Some doctors who are surgeons, physicians, ones that tend not to be out of work and really have more work than what they can handle, and they're in specialized careers, they can have less. They can have 3 months or so. But that's your savings bucket. Then, as that builds, and somebody might say, you know, I have more money than 3 or 6 months that I need in emergency funds, maybe I can put the money somewhere to work a little harder. And we set up what's called an investment bucket. This is the evolution of accumulation of wealth. This is the picture that I tend to see when somebody comes to me and they might say, hey, you know, I'm in my late 50s, early 60s, and I'm here now because I need to have somebody help guide me in retirement. And you can almost, like you would if you were reading the rings of a log to know how old the tree was that that log came from. You can see the same picture. There was a cash account that has always been in the family. The bank has been bought by 9 different banks since, but money kind of goes in there as working capital. Then you have the savings bucket, and then an investment bucket comes along. It's a little bit longer term money. It might be stocks and bonds. It might be mutual funds, but it's the longer term investment money. Then you might have a kid's education bucket. That's 529 plans, mutual funds. Then there might be a retirement bucket. Here's the problem with the retirement bucket. That retirement bucket has a lot of different types of accounts that can go in it. So just like your investment bucket, you might have stocks and bonds and different types of things that you put money in, maybe a private equity investment, whatever it might be, mutual fund. You might have a bunch of stuff in that bucket. But the problem in retirement is that you have a lot of buckets that fall under the term retirement. Here's what the retirement space looks like. Here's what could be the buckets that you're dealing with. 401k, an IRA, a deferred comp program within your company that is viewed as part of the retirement benefit. It's money for later on. 403b, maybe you have a side gig or a little side business, which a lot of people have, and you have something called a simplified employee pension, a SEP. Maybe you have a simple IRA. Maybe you have a Roth 401k, a traditional 401k. Maybe you have a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA. I just gave you 4 different types of retirement accounts. And that's just you. If your spouse has done the same thing, we're talking 8 different accounts. And we didn't even get into whether there's a SEP involved or any other type of retirement vehicles like a simple IRA or 401k. So you see how all of a sudden in the retirement space, we can end up with a whole mix match or a potpourri of different types of accounts? It'd be the equivalent of saying, yeah, you know what? I have an investment account because I had the cash account. I had the savings account for the rainy day. Then I had some extra dollars and started putting away, and I bought a mutual fund and then decided to buy some stocks, and now I have this investment account over at TD Ameritrade. Well, it'd be like going out and saying, I'm going to open up a TD Ameritrade. I'm going to open up a Vanguard. I'm going to open up a Scottrade, Morgan Stanley. I'm going to open up all these accounts so I can buy stocks and bonds. Well, you can do all that in one account. But within retirement vehicles, you can't do it that way. Why? Because they all have their rules tied to them. So it's messy. Let's take a closer look at how you go about cleaning this up, making the most of it. Let's say you have an IRA that was set up by your parents, right? I set up IRAs for my kids. They really did it, but I showed them how to do it because they have earned income. I remember in college, I had friends who had IRA accounts. I was envious. Their parents showed them how to open an IRA account, and they were buying CDs. I still remember one of my good friends, Mike Trapp, had himself an IRA, and he had a CD in there paying 7% back in the 80s when I was in college. Well, guess what? He can't touch that IRA until 59 and a half, so I know he still has it. If he did, he paid a big penalty. He had to pay tax on it and a 10% penalty on top of taking the money out. Hence, could lose up to 50% of what's in there. Then somebody could have an IRA that was a rollover of a former employer. Because if you work somewhere and then you left and went somewhere else, which a lot of people do, some people then take that 401k and they roll it to an IRA. And some people have a 403b. Maybe they work for a nonprofit or they were a teacher. 401k. What if somebody's with their current employer? They have an IRA rollover that came from a former employer. They have the IRA that's set up by their parents. They did some social work right out of college. They have a 403b now. Now they work for a company and they have a 401k. And along the way, they decided to open a Roth IRA and then use part of their work-related accounts to have a Roth 401k. Do you see what happens here? My head's spinning, and I'm sure yours is too. But let's give some clarity to this. What does it mean to consolidate? It means reducing the number of those accounts to a more manageable number where they won't potentially hurt you. I'm going to give you benefits, and I'm going to give you some negatives of consolidating. Early on in life, people don't really focus on consolidating, but you get to a point as you get closer to retirement that I usually recommend starting to clean these things up and where need be, consolidate. There are benefits that you need to know. There are also pitfalls you have to be careful of. Here are the benefits of consolidating your retirement accounts. One, you can consolidate a 401k to a rollover IRA. It's a single distribution later on in life. What do I mean by that? A lot of people, when they go and they leave a job, they keep their money within the 401k. There's some people that have a couple different 401ks of companies they don't work for anymore. And they're with a company, they have a 401k. Later on in life, you have to take distributions. You're required by the government to take distributions. But guess what? If you have a bunch of different 401ks that are just sitting out there, you have to take a single distribution from each one of them. If you consolidate them all into one account, which is an IRA, which you're allowed to do, you now have to only worry about one distribution. Here's something else. Beneficiaries. Your retirement accounts, have you put a beneficiary of who gets that money if you pass away? I can show you many a cases where there's been divorce or a spouse who's no longer in a relationship with someone or has passed. And somebody has remarried, and guess what? A deceased person's a beneficiary, and a contingent beneficiary might be on there that wasn't supposed to be on there. It makes it easier to keep track of where that money flows to. See, to go back, that bucket that's an investment bucket or an emergency fund bucket or your cash bucket doesn't have to have a beneficiary on it. It's not a retirement account. It's going to pass through according to your wishes of your will and your estate type of documents. Your IRA accounts and your retirement accounts have a beneficiary designation that needs to be paid attention to. The more of these accounts you have, the more problems that come into that area and mistakes happen. Another benefit, By consolidating, it helps you see the big picture and better plan. It makes it easier also, another benefit, to calculate your required minimum distribution, which is called an RMD, at retirement age of 70 and a half. Now, it doesn't mean you retire 70 and a half, but the government has a rule. So if you go to the IRS code, it's going to tell you that at age 70 and a half, you got to start taking distributions. There's twists and turns of when you actually take it, but that's the rule. It makes it easier to do that. So there's just a few of some of the benefits of doing consolidation. There are some negatives too. It could be more expensive. For example, I know someone that I said, look, it doesn't make sense to convert that to an IRA right now because the 401k at your past employer is less expensive than you converting that $1,800 that you're sitting with that you're going to move to Vanguard, because Vanguard's going to charge you an account fee for that size of assets. Keep it where it is until the employer comes and says the fees are going up. Or until we can find a place that's less expensive than the plan that you currently have. Commingling can cause mistakes. We've seen people who don't know the rules try to take a traditional, move it to a Roth. You get all kinds of stuff that you need to be careful of because there's rules in moving your retirement accounts. Go to irs.gov and you can read the rules. Some 401ks allow for partial withdrawals at age 55 without the 10% penalty. Yes, there's a 10% penalty if you try to take money out of an IRA prior to 59 and a half. But there's a special rule, 55 and up, you can take a withdrawal without a 10% penalty prior to 59 and a half. So rolling that money to an IRA would take away that option to tap that 401k. It's important to educate ourselves. And as I said, you can go to irs.gov to read up on that. If there's something you need help with from a financial point of view or a life point of view, your life, your wealth, reach out. Ask Steve at cfnplan.com. We have a whole team of very good, qualified, specialized people who can get to the root and give answers, guidance, and help, clarity, and education to whatever it is that is on your mind regarding your life and your wealth. It's real simple. Ask Steve at cfnplan.com. Ask Steve at cfnplan.com. Thank you very much for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth show with me, Steve Cordesco. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discussed to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordesco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.